As I gaze across your faces this morning, I'm flooded with emotion because I have watched you for 16 years, both near and far. I feel like a debtor to this congregation. You have ministered to me. You have cared for my family, especially lately, and we are exceedingly grateful. My life and my ministry have been intertwined with this congregation since before I knew you even existed. In 1987, while I was a ministerial student at Southern Seminary, I heard some commotion about a recent graduate named Paul Duke. I began to follow his ministry with interest, and then in 2008, my brother Alan relocated to Ann Arbor. Now, Alan was raised Southern Baptist. His wife, Paula, Catholic. So I gently suggested that they visit First Baptist Church. They were at first, before visiting, a little skeptical, I think because of your church's middle name. But look at the Burtons now. Fully immersed, swashbuckling Baptist. And little brother is in the pulpit. Oh, it's been such a source of delight for me to watch them flourish here in your midst and to be so happy. It's a reminder that God is a God of surprise. I share all this because this morning, in the few minutes we have, I'd like to hold up a mirror to you and show you what I have observed about this pioneering congregation. I hope the mirror will become a window for you, a spacious, sparkling window for you to be reminded of how the Spirit is alive and working in this place, especially as you welcome a new pastor and as you build a future that's bigger than your past. Now, today's scripture is a familiar story. Before God's appearance to him, we learn that Abraham is in the throes of freshly grieving the death of his brother, which must have been shattering. Then God says, grab the goats and the camels, tune up the chariots, it's time to move. Like the disciples who dropped their nets and followed Jesus, to our modern ears, this just seems so unbelievable. We are such planners, we're strategic, we forecast, we don't just make radical changes like this. So, but it really shows you about the obedience and faith. How did Abraham summon such supernatural faith? As we heard from the psalmist, Abraham spent a lifetime cultivating faithfulness. Through adversity, the best teacher, he grew. Isn't it great how inspiring it is when people don't just age, but they develop and grow? We don't tend to get wiser on a carnival cruise. Maybe in some ways we might. But usually it's walking through the valleys that we really begin to grow and we appreciate what God's presence really means to us. You know, Abraham passed through many valleys that most people would have given up on God. But he didn't. In fact, Abraham's faith became so enormous that his name is mentioned almost 300 times in Scripture. He's the only person referred to in Scripture as a friend to God. First Baptist Church, Ann Arbor, you are on the edge of another transition in your long and winding pilgrimage. Be not afraid. Transitions are the only way we really grow. When the ground beneath us shifts, we are forced to step out of the darkness, not knowing where we're going, and like Abraham, we follow. The moment I walked into this sanctuary about 16 years ago, I felt your fierce compassion and your gladness to be a house of worship for all people. There is a fragrance that emanates from a people of God who have over time been through struggle and overcome hardship on the long road of obedience and emerge grace-filled. It is impossible to describe it, but there is a redolence in the air, and I've developed a strong olfactory system for recognizing it, and you have it here. I've watched you celebrate your triumphs and cradle one another through periods of indescribable grief and loss. Through the ups and downs of our economy, through the recent horrific spectacles of our national public life, you have fervently maintained a prophetic call and witness. I've marveled at the defiant hope and the steadfast fidelity to gospel principles that you have, to social justice, to service, missions, intercessory prayer, and caring for each other. The fragrance, this kind of fragrance accompanies years of work as a people building an inclusive community, learning to cultivate faithfulness as you work with the beautiful and the humiliated, learning to be comfortable with being with people wherever they are on the ragged rim of this economy. In the center of Christ's hearts, there you are also. A few years ago, several years ago now, I visited and I did not see many children and youth. In subsequent years, I saw that change. Again, a credit, I think, to the Spirit's work within and through you, as well as hiring gifted staff that wanted to make sure the needs of everyone were being met. Okay, I confess I do have an informant in this congregation. She's much too pretty to call a mole. So I was advantaged to see the pastor profile that you completed as you were about to start your pastor search. And I tell you, I could not stop smiling at all of the comments that you, the laity, made, and the ownership you have in this church, the affection, the memories, but also the hopes and aspirations that you have, and just the very high expectations. I absolutely love it. And when I read the biography of Pastor Laura, I guess my years out in the desert in Las Vegas kind of took over, because I thought, they hit the jackpot. And I thought, well, she did too. I'm kind of picturing her up here on her first Sunday looking out and radiating and just thinking, I look to the pews from which cometh my help. As I read through the dozens of comments, I was also struck by the amazing step you took, I think it was in 2018, to become an open and affirming congregation. That was huge. Thank you for doing that. The profile noted that 92% of survey respondents identified as straight. That's okay. You were born that way. Thank you for being an exhibit of what it means to have differences, but to be forgiving and patient and loving throughout a process like that, which is never easy. I often tell my family they have no idea how blessed they are to be in a church like this. I've been in hundreds of churches. What you have here is very, very special. Few congregations truly practice the doxology the way this one does. Very few have this unbelievable riches of gifts of laity and clergy. You're encouraging children to be curious, to freely question and explore and own their faith and not just inherit it. The way you preach inclusion and practice it and help people understand that the nature of our calling is not determined by the shape of our anatomy. You have a fecundity of outreach and mission programs that are legendary in the grapevine of this community. You've elevated a distinctively warm and elegant liturgical worship worthy of our God, while you were equally comfortable putting on muddy boots and going out and helping to repair the world. And come on, how many Baptist churches have an air garage? I mean, that sounds like a place where you park the prayers till they're answered. I don't know. Paula had to explain that to me, but I thought, that's cool. They've got some residual revenue coming in. So one last gaze into the mirror. Look at it, peer in there intently, reflecting back at you and the journey of this church. What do you see? Yes, there have been struggles and hard times, but amidst all that, don't you see the pools of grace? I mean, they're so real, you almost do a double take and look back over your shoulder. God's faithfulness to you, always there, creating something new, finding a silver lining, healing, growing, delighting in the new thing that is coming. Now the window. Do you remember that little toy we played with as children called a kaleidoscope? It was a little tube, and you could look through it, and there were just these amazing moving crystals and colors, and they looked like jewels floating around. Moving pieces, shifting perspective, dynamic complexity, fragments and random elements that can be reordered into a cohesive beauty by simply changing the angle of view. As you get to know Laura and she gets to know you, differences will inevitably emerge. We're human. Endeavor to listen. To remember those pools of grace, peer intently for ways to transcend and find new designs. Kaleidoscope comes from a word that means a beholder of beautiful things. Keep this metaphor close as you form community with your new pastor. Through this window, may you also see a future that is abundant and anchored in the promises of God, where opportunities may be disguised as obstacles. A future where your oneness with all suffering, humanity, and creation, so firmly rooted in your history, deepens and spreads wide. A future where the vitality and sustainability of this congregation are secure and without equal. A future where your faith flows outward through advocacy for other people, Christ's love in action. You blessed souls, float free and confidently into the new and mysterious future that God has for you. Like Abraham, launch with grace and generosity, cultivating faithfulness, knowing that our guarding and guiding God will never, never, no, never forsake you.